So as it relates to Reid, Shavuos Daf Hey is very much a daf that you would expect to find in Maseches Shabbos. And the truth is, it's a daf that you can find in Maseches Shabbos. In fact, the words Yetzias HaShabbos Shtayin Shein Arba are the opening words of Maseches Shabbos. There's a nuance between the way the halacha was presented in Shavuos Daf Beis versus the way it was presented in Shabbos Daf Beis. And part of the avodah of today's daf was figuring out what exactly that nuance is and why in Masechta Shavuos it's presented one way and why in Masechta Shabbos it's presented another way. But really, today's daf is very much the psicha of Maseches Shabbos, which begs the question, and that is, why does Maseches Shabbos begin Yetzias HaShabbos? Why does it begin with the Melacha of Hoitzah? And just to bring out the question a little bit more, we know that there are 39 Melachas. The Mishnah and Perakal Gadol, Shabbos Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph, is Moina all the 39 Melachas. If you keep score, the 39th Melacha is the Melacha of Hoitzah. So you say, Meres, Hoitzah is really the last of the Lamedtes Melachas. Yet, in Maseches Shabbos, when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was Masada the Mishnah, and Ravina Ravashi wrote their Gemara, the first sugya that's discussed is the very last Melacha. And if that's the question, Tzarech Ian, why is it that Masechta Shabbos begins with, from all things, the 39th of the Melachos? And the truth is, you know who asked this kasha? Tosfos asked this kasha. It's the very first Tosfos of Masechta Shabbos. Tosfos says a teretz based on his yesod that he says throughout Masechta Shabbos and sprinkled the Masechta's Erevin as well. And that is, Hoitzah is a Melacha Grua. It's a very unique type of Melacha. Tosfos explains a lot of anomalies related to the Melacha of Hoitzah using that yesod. One of the things that Tosfos explains is why the Masechta begins with the Melacha of Hoitzah. And for more on this topic, I am related Reid Bites. But we once mentioned a Dovar Nifla that I saw in the Shailos HaTshuvos Eretz Tzvi from the Kozhik Lava Goyen, Hashem Yom Kom Damoy. I think it's Kedai to Chazer that Shtikl, the Ein Beis Medrash, Beloy Chiddush Nifla. So the Kozhik Lava Goyen in a tshuva, and this is in Chelek Aleph, it's Simen Mem Aleph. The tshuva was written to the Kozhik Lava's great Rebbe, the Helege Avni Nezer. And in the tshuva he discussed in Yonim Shoinim, they went through different things, and Toich Dvarov, he writes as follows, Esmo Lamadati B'Medrash Rabbah B'Parshas HaShavua. He said, yesterday I was learning Medrash Rabbah for this week's Parsha, Kiyodua, in Poland. The minig was that the Oilam would learn every week the Medrash Rabbah on that Parsha. So the Kozhik Lava, who was of course a Polisha, told his Rebbe Avni Nezer, who of course was a Polisha, yesterday I was following the minig, and I was learning Medrash Rabbah on the Parsha, and I came across the following Medrash. Goyshe Shomeres HaShabbos, actually Kibel Oleves HaMilo Chayiv Misa. A guy that keeps Shabbos before he was Mekabel on himself, the mitzvah of Mila, is Chayiv Misa. Now, of course, this Medrash is related to the Gemara in Perek Abra Misa's Bezder Masechta Sanhedrin that says that a guy that keeps Shabbos is going to be Chayiv Misa. But the Kozhik Lava said that if you look carefully at the Lashon of the Medrash, it seems very unique. Goy sheshomeres haShabbos actually kibel oloves hamilo chayev misa. And really, there's two diukim. Number one, it sounds like from the Medrash that what it depends on, meaning whether or not the goy will be chayev misa for keeping Shabbos or not, is milo. And even that, it's not just milo. It's if he was mekabel olav es hamilo. But said the Kozhik Lava, that one thing I think I see in this medrash is a raya to what the Rebbe said, and it's printed in Shailos HaTshuvos Avni Nezer Yerideya Simen Shin Nun Aleph. So what did the Avni Nezer say in that tshuva? So we know it's a braisa mesechtes yevomis and perik hacholitz daf mem vav amid aleph. It's a three-way machloikis tanon. How exactly geirus is consummated? Rabbi Eliezer says that a ger shemol v'loy toval is a ger. Rabbi Yeshua says, a ger she toval v'loy mol is a ger. The Chachamim oimrim toval v'loy mol v'loy toval, ein ger achin yimol v'yitpa. According to the Chachamim, the only way a person can become a ger is if he does number one, mila, and number two, Tfilah. That is the Shitas HaChachomim. This is the way the Rambam paskins. And this is what's gepaskit in Shulchan Aruch. That in order for somebody to become a ger, he would need two things. Number one, he would need Mila. Number two, he would need Tfilah. By the way, Bizban Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, he would have to bring a carbon as well. But now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, through Mila and through Tfilah, that's the way a person becomes a ger. Stating that, said Avni Nezer, I want to say a chiddush. If you have a ger shemol v'loy toval, even according to the Chachamim that whole, ein ger atchin yimol v'yitbol, if he wants to keep Shabbos, he would be allowed to keep Shabbos. And it could be he would even have a mitzvah to keep Shabbos. Why? Because what's the makar to the Shitas HaChachamim? That in order to have a geiris, you would need milah and tefillah. We learn it from the Yitz in Mitzrayim. When the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they had milah. The milah was done in Mitzrayim. And then, b'shas matan Torah, they had tefillah. At matan Torah, the Yidden were megayir. Zoysay Meres, the two things that the Yidden did in order to have a Geiris was Mila and Tfilah. There was a carbon as well. But the point is, you see, Mila and Tfilah are both necessary prerequisites in order for somebody to become a Ger. So said the Avni Nezer, a Dover Nifla. He said that we know that the Yidden were Nitztava in Shabbos before they came to Har Sinai. The Yidden were Nitztava in Shabbos in Mara. Now, when the Yidden were in Mara, they hadn't Toivled yet because the Tfilah happened first at the time of Matan Torah. They had Mila, because the Mila they got before they left Mitzrayim, the Ever Alayich, the Erech, Misboiseses, B'damayich, V'oim Malach, B'damayich Hayi, V'oim Malach, B'damayich Hayi, was Dam Pesach and Dam Mila, but the Tefillah they hadn't had yet. That means when the Yidden were in this interim Matziv, they were in between the Mila and the Tefillah. They were B'pchines, Gershom, Ovaloi Tavah, they were Nitztava on Shabbos. So said Avni Nezer, if the whole Yisoid of Eino Gerach Yim of Yitbol is based on the fact that that's what Klal Yisrael did, meaning we're mirroring our Hilchas Geiris based on the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So Zilbas HaTaima, the Yidden themselves, when they were Yotzei Mitzrayim, they got the mitzvah of Shabbos when they were in that matziv of a Ger Shamal V'loy Taval. So even though in Halacha a Ger Shamal V'loy Taval is not a full-fledged Yid, but at the same time, a Ger Shamal V'loy Taval who wants to keep Shabbos will be allowed to keep Shabbos. Akim Sheshavas is Chayev Misa, that's true. But once he's Mal V'loy Taval, he's not anymore a full-fledged Akum. And from the fact that the Yidden themselves got Shabbos when they were in a matziv of Mal V'loy Taval, so too, every single ger that's Mavaloi Taval, if he wants to keep Shabbos, will be allowed to keep Shabbos. So the Kajer Glover told Avni Nezer, he said, I think in this Medrash you see a Mefurash. Because the Medrash says, Goyshe Shomer Es HaShabbos, actually Kibel Olav Es HaMila. Why are we talking about Mila? According to the Chachamim, it's not Mila, it's Eino Ger Achiyim Ova Yitbo. The Teretz is, as it relates to Shabbos, it is about Mila. Because Klal Yisrael themselves, when they were Ger Shom Mavaloi Taval, we're already nitztava in the mitzvah of Mila. And then the Kajal Glover went weiter, and he said that lefi hanal, maybe it could be miyashiv, the first Tosfos is kasha in Masechta Shabbos. Tosfos asked the kasha, that why is it that Masechta Shabbos begins Yitzias HaShabbos? Yehuda va'oidl kra, in the minion of the Lamites Malachis, Haitzah is the 39th Malacha. So if it's the 39th Malacha, then you would think that it should be discussed last. Why are we discussing it first? So said the Kajal Glover, another Hoysofa Nifla. And that is, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, that even though the Yidden got Shabbos when they were in Mara, but at Tchumen, loy nitztavu b'mara. They didn't get the mitzvah of Tchumen. Tosfos says that being that the Malach of Haitzah is learned from the parasha of Tchumen, al yetzei yishmim koimoy, it would come out that if the Yidden didn't get Tchumen when they were in Mara, they also didn't get the Malach of Haitzah when they were in Mara. So said the Kajal Glover, what's the panemius? That the Yidden got 38 of the Lamites Malachis when they were in Mara, but Haitzah they didn't. So this is above my pay grade. But said the Kajal Glover, it's muchach from here, that when the Yidden were in a matziv of Miktsas Geiris, when they were Mavaloi Taval, they were already in a state where they were Shayach to Shabbos. However, only 38 of the Malachis. The Malach of Haitzah, they couldn't get until they completed their Geiris. Must be this some Kedusha that the 39th Malach of Haitzah has that the other 38 Malachis don't have. If that's the case, it would explain why 38 of the Malachis, the Yidden, were able to observe when they were only begeder miktsas Yehudi, but the 39th malacha, the malacha of Hoitzah, for that already, they had to be a fartig yid. If that's the case, Hoitzah is more kaddish than the other 38 malachas. We know the Gemara says in Perakol Adadim, Sech Tizvachim, Kol Atadim Mechaveiroi, Koidim Lechaveiroi. But the Gemara also says, Kol HaMekudish Mechaveiroi, is Koidim Lechaveiroi. Hoitzah is Mekudish Mechaveiroi. And being that it's Mekudish Mechaveiroi, it's Koidim Lechaveiroi, and that's why the Tana mentioned first the malacha of Hoitzah. The Kajak Lava said, that's also why Hoitzah is the 39th malacha. Why is it malacha 39? Because in the Seder Advarim, in the Shalshelis Advarim, of how the malachas won Nitztava, the 39th malacha that they got was the malacha of Hoitzah. Because Hoitzah, the Yidden didn't get until they were Mekabel the Torah, as opposed to the other 38 they got already in Mara. So as it relates to the Seder Advarim, how they won Nitztava in Hoitzah less. And it's for that reason, it's the 39th malacha. But in terms of the Kedusha, and the fact that you have to be a fighting Yid in order to be shaykh to the malacha of Hoitzah, that means it's more Kaddish. And if it's more Kaddish, loy mishpat amechayra. And that's why said the Kajag Lava, when the time of the Mishnah sat down, and he wanted to be Mesader, Mesech the Shabbos, he began with the holiest of all the malachas. And that is the malacha of Hoitzah, and that's why Mesech the Shabbos begins, Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shehein Arba. The truth is that this chiddush of the Avnei Nezer was something that played itself out in a real life shayla that was literally marushay lamos. It spanned seas, began in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, and made its way into Europe, Germany, and different places with great Talmidei Chachamim and great Meshivim. And really the story began with a Ger Tzedek who had gone through a Geiris process by the Beis Din Tzedek of Yerushalayim. Now he had done his Mila, and Keminig HaGeiris, he was waiting for the wound of the Mila to heal before he was going to be able to Teufel. The Ger was a little older, and as a result, it took a little bit longer for his wound to heal. In the meantime, Sigikumen Shabbos. Shabbos, after Mincha, this Ger runs into Beis Medrash, and he's looking for the great Rav, the great Dayan, Rav Osher Lemel Levi. Now, the Beis Din Tzedek at that time was being run by Rav Shmuel Misalant. But Rav Shmuel Misalant happened to have been in Chutz Laretz at the time. And as a result, Rav Osher Lemel, he was in charge of the Beis Din. And this Yid comes running over to Rav Osher Lemel. It's already Shkia time. And he tells him that, I'm a little bit stuck. I have a quandary. Why? I'm in the middle of doing my Geiris. I was a Ger Shemol of a Veloy Tavah, because we're waiting for the wound to heal. Do I keep Shabbos or do I not keep Shabbos? Now, I've been keeping Shabbos up until this point, under the assumption that I'm already Shayach to Shabbos because of the fact I was Mekabel Mitzvahs, I did what I was supposed to do. But at the same time, I know I didn't complete my Geiris because I didn't do the Tefillah, and I know Goyish Shabbos is Chayav Misa. So, what am I supposed to do? So, Rabbi Shalemel sat down and he was mispointing a little bit, and he made a back of the envelope Cheshbon. He said that it's a machlokes tanoim yevamis ben vavam et aleph, exactly how geiris is consummated. We paskin like the chachamim inoy ger at sheyimol v'yitbal. It's a mafurish gemara mesachta Sanhedrin that akum sheshavas is chayev misa. So he said you're not a yid based on yevamis ben vav. You're not allowed to keep Shabbos based on Perek Arba Mises Bezdin. And he said, as a result, you have no choice. You have to be Mechal Shabbos. So he said, what should I do? So he took a piece of paper and he gave him a pen. And he said, sit down and just write a word or a few words, a few oisias. And based on that, you'll be Mechal Shabbos. And like this, you'll be able to be Mekayim this inyan. The next day, word got out in the Geselach of Yerushalayim that Rav Osher Lemel had told this Ger Tzedek to be Mechal Shabbos. And it made a huge tumult. And Kol Yisrael, Ke'ish Echa B'Lev Echad, felt that it was a Milsa de Tmiya. It was a very Mechudash de Gapsak. Why? They didn't know. But for sure, it seemed strange. This is someone that's already holding Ot. He began his Geiris. He was Nichnas Bebrisa Shal Avram Avinu, and we're telling him to go now and to be Michal Shabbos and the Svaradim and the Ashkenazim and all the different Kreisen that lived in Yerushalayim at the time, they all came out very, very strongly against the Psak of Rav Ashel Emel. Now, Rav Shmuel Misalant wasn't present at the time. He would have been the Poisek Achron, but he wasn't there. And as a result, Rav Ashel Emel was looking for a little bit of support for his Psak. So he decided to send what happened to his good friend, Rabbi Yaakov Eklinger, the Baal Orech Laner, who was living in Germany. And he said, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, maybe you could write a tshuva, maybe you could be mechazik me a little bit because of what happened. And the Orech Laner responded to the request of Rav Ashel Emel. In fact, his response is printed in Shailos HaTshuvas Binyan Tzion. It's in Simen Tzadik Aleph. Now, if you go through the tshuva, the Orech Laner sets up the story. He tells it in great detail. And then he gets to the lomdus. And he tells Rav Ashel Emel that even though everything that you said is Dvarim Shel Tam, it's a back of the envelope, cheshbin, it's so obvious. It's literally 1 + 1 = 2. He said, but it doesn't feel right. And he said, not just that. I asked around by some of the Dayanim, and they all told me that no one ever heard of such a Zach. That if there's a Ger Shemovel Aitoval and Sukkum Shabbos, he keeps Shabbos like a Yid. Abba Lamaisa, you're right. And it's time, my boy. So he said, I thought about it a little bit, and I have two Ha'aras. The first Ha'ara, said Rabbi Yaakov Eklinger, is that we know that when someone gets Bris Milah, he's Nichnas Bebrisa Shal Avram Avinu. He enters a covenant that the Torah talks about in the end of Parashas Lech Lecha, a covenant that makes him very, very special in terms of his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a covenant that the Ramban is mafligin, where you now become literally someone who's tachas, the Hashkocha Protis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it's a bechina of now you're doima kemisha yeshlo yaleika, where your fate is not going to be tali in mazel, but rather it's going to be tali in your mitzvahs and mais and toivim, schar v'oynish, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to micromanage every single element of your life. He said, it's poshut to me that once somebody is nichnas bebrisa shel Avram Avinu, even though the chlal yisro loy ba, according to the chachamim that hold, ein oigera chenyimo v'yitpol, ober michal akum kfar yotza. He says, it can't be that you're an akum if you're nichnas bebrisa shel Avram Avinu. He said, to me it's a stira. And being that it's a stira, it's poshut that that's probably why a ger shel mavel leitaval at the end of the day is no longer bebchinas akum sheshavas, we would be chayim misa. But then the Aruch Laner said that I was thinking about it a little bit more, and I think there's a raya to this, because Klal Yisrael themselves, when were they nitzav in Shabbos? They were nitzav in Shabbos when they were in Mara. When they were in Mara, they were bebchinas mavel leitaval. How were they able to get a mitzvah of Shabbos? What happened to akum sheshavas? The teretz is once they did milah, even though it's true the geiris wasn't fartig yet, but they were nichnas bevrisa shel Avram Avinu, and as a result they're no longer akum. And if they're no longer akum, they're no longer shayich to this halacha of akum sheshavas. He wrote back to Rav Ashel Emel, I wish I could support you, meaning everything that you did was dvarim shel tam, abla maisa, it's not the way we fear zech, and I think I'm giving you two plausible reasons why this should be the case. It's interesting, if you have the Sefer Teres Rabbeinu Shmuel Salant, Zeichet Tzadik Levrach, it's three volumes, it's something that you can find. So it's a likud of a lot of different Torah from Rav Shmuel Misalant. And in Chelek Aleph, Simen Lamed Aleph, the name of the simen is Be'inyin Ger Shamol V'loy Tava Le'inyin Shmir Shavas. And they bring here the whole Shmuels and the whole Arichos of exactly how it played itself out. Now, one of the writers here in this simen is Rabbi Yechiel Mechel Tikachinsky, who we know through marriage was an enikel from Rabbi Shmuel Misalant, and he was Meshamishim very, very much. And as a result, a lot of what we know from Rabbi Shmuel Misalant came from the great Goyen, Rabbi Yechiel Mechel Tikachinsky. But regardless, Rabbi Yechiel Mechel tells his version of the story. One of the things you have here in the Sefer for Rav Shmuel Misalant is we have a very, very long tshuva for Rav Ashel Emel. In Shailos HaTshuvas Binyan Tzion, all we have is the response of the Binyan Tzion, of the Aruch Laner, to Rav Ashel Emel. But over here, you can actually see the tshuva that Rav Ashel Emel wrote. One of the things that jumps off the page is, what a fartig goyim olam. Obviously, he sat on the Bezdin Tzedek in the mid-19th century. But the point is that if you go through his tshuva, which I did very, very quickly, Toich Dvarov, he's mitzadeh this svara of the Binyan Tzion, meaning he was mechaven to it, and not just that, he says that maybe you could even bring a raya from a Medrash Rabba, where the Medrash Rabba said, Rav Asher Lemel says, Goyshe Shomer Es HaShabbos, Adshaloi Kimel Olav Es HaMilo Chayev Miso, and he was mechaven to the raya of the Koshek Lava Goyen, and he says, L'chayre, that Loshen HaMedrash is actually very mashma, to Goyne Yoyla, making the same brilliant diak in a Medrash, but he was doichet, and the reason he was doichet was, he said, because we have a Messiah that when it comes to writing tshuvas and when it comes to halachic shailas, ein mevin raya min ha-medrash. So he said, although it's a rizig gediyik, and it would very much support the argument that really this ger shemov leitavel is obligated to keep Shabbos, but at the end of the day, it's a medrash, the ein mevin raya min ha-medrash. Either way, this is the chiddush of the Avnei Nezer that the Kozhuk Lava brought a raya to from a medrash rabba in Shailos HaTshuvos Eretz Tzvi Simin Mem Aleph. It's a chiddush that the Aruch Haner was mechaven to in Shailos HaTshuvos Binyan Tzion and Simin Tzadik Aleph with regards to this big shail of Halacha Lamaisa. Why are we talking about this right now? Because the Kozhuk Lava said that with this raid, maybe we could be miyashin if Tosfos is first Kasha Masech to Shabbos. Okay, so why are we talking about that? We're learning Shavuos, not Shabbos, because Shavuos Daf Hei is very much Shabbos Daf Beis. Either way, this is the first part of the raid bite, but I want to share with you the rest of the story. And before, just a shout out to Echad Dibnei Chabura, Pini Stieglitz, who is someone that I've had the privilege to correspond with several times over the last bunch of years. He sent me an article a while back. I put a little bookmark next to it, and it's something that's fascinating. It's very much the rest of the story, and it's very much relevant to what we're talking about right now. So in the year 1844, a man by the name of Warder Cresson was appointed as the first American consul to Jerusalem. In English, he was the first American diplomat that was ever assigned some duties in what would 100 or so years later become the state of Israel. Now, the story of Warder Cresson is, he was born in 1798 in Philadelphia to a Quaker family. Now, Kamina got Quakers, he got married young, he had six children, and he had a very, very successful farming business. So he was a successful entrepreneur. He was also brilliant, and he was also religiously very, very curious. And he decided, like Yisroel, to start dabbling in every religion that he can get his hands on. Tried this, he tried that, et gedint, ala avodah zarah, until finally he landed upon Judaism. He lived in Philadelphia. So if you know a little American history from that time, there was a very influential rabbi by the name of Reb Isaac Leiser, and he became a student of Isaac Leiser. He would listen to his sermons, and he was very influential of making him very, very interested in Yiddishkeit. His interest in Yiddishkeit got to the point that he decided that he was willing to entertain conversion, but first things first, he believed in a very deep place that a Yid belongs in Eretz Yisrael. I'll just read one excerpt. This is from his own diary. If I could have honestly believed that the fullest degree of the glory of the coming kingdom might have been possessed without any connection with place, I might have still remained at home in my sealed house with a beloved and virtuous wife and lovely family. Great and precious were the many privileges that I enjoyed there, and I feel most sensibly the deprivation of them. But the light and conviction of God's precious promises in reference to the turn of the Jew and setting up his everlasting kingdom at Mount Zion and Jerusalem became so great that if I could no longer remain at home, therefore I have forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, mother, wife, children, and lands for the kingdom of God's sake. Here's what we would referred to as a proto-Zionist. So he was someone that was feeling this fervor of going to Eretz Yisrael 50 or so years before the modern and before the secular Zionist movement would even surface. But either way, he decided that he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. He was very, very well connected because of his influence and his power and his wealth. And he decided that, you know, instead of just going to Eretz Yisrael, book a ticket on El Al. So he's going to do this
in a more scenic way, and he lobbied to get himself this position as becoming an American diplomat, which he knew once he arrived, you know, in the Holy Land, it would open up a lot of doors for him, and he becomes the very, very first American consul to the city of Jerusalem. And he goes to Eretz Yisrael. He lives there for a couple of years, and then finally, he decides that he wants to be Megayer, and he goes through a Geirus process. Comes back to America, and when he comes back to the United States, he finds that his wife had left him. His children wanted to have nothing to do with him. And not just that, his wife, who had been given power of attorney for all his geschäften before he got away, because someone had to take care of the business, used that power of attorney to say that the business is mine, I'm not giving it back to you. But what do you mean? It was only given to you temporarily. So her counter-argument was that you're insane. And because you're insane, you're not in a position, you don't have the mental acuity and the mental capacity to be able to run our family's business. You don't have the mental capacity to have anything to do with our children. And she basically said that based on the fact that he's just simply insane, I'm not giving you back the business. Now, he sued her. They went to some local court and she won. He was deemed to be insane. And based on that, he lost everything. Now, to be fair, he wasn't insane. To be fair, he was a little eccentric, if you read the story. But insane he wasn't. There was no history of him ever having been admitted to any psychiatric ward or insane asylum. As far as we know, he was an interesting guy. But at the same time, insane he wasn't. And the truth is, if you read the tshuva that was written by that local court in Philadelphia, the primary argument that was being made to argue this conviction of insanity was the fact that he had converted to Judaism. And who in his right mind would take upon himself the yoke of this religion? It makes absolutely no sense. And it was based on that that he was found guilty. Now, he was a very connected person. He goes, he hires this huge lawyer, some big celebrity attorney, and they decide they're going to appeal this ruling by a higher court. This ruling that was now going to be appealed started garnering media attention. There was a 5-day trial. Every single minute of this was documented in all the papers. And at the end of the 5-day trial, he was actually absolved, meaning the ruling was overturned and it was determined that he's not insane. And because of that, he was given his business back. And if you study, which I haven't, but if you study American Jewish law, apparently this was a very, very important ruling because it was something that basically strengthened religious liberties in the United States. It was considered a constitutional rights victory. It strengthened the First Amendment that a person has a right to practice any religion that he wants to practice, and no person shall be deemed insane based on the religious decisions that this person is going to make. Now, Hisham Bias was a shtickle on the rocks, and he decided that, you know what, maybe I should have never even come home. So he took all the cash he could carry with him, and he went back on the next boat, and he returns to Eretz Yisrael, where he ended up living into the 1860s, where he passed away. Incidentally, when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he got married again. He had 2 children that both passed away before he died, and he ends up dying childless in Eretz Yisrael. In his diary, in Werder Cresson's diary, he wrote a lot about his story. One of the things that he wrote was as follows. He says, quote, "I remained in Jerusalem in my former faith." This is when he had come the first time as an American consul, "until the 28th day of March, 1848, when I became fully satisfied that I can never obtain strength and rest, but by doing as Ruth did and saying to her mother-in-law, Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. In short, upon the 28th day of March, 1848, I was circumcised, entered the Holy Covenant, and became a Jew." So I'm going to tell you something fascinating. There was some research that was done by the academic world. If you take a look at the tshuva from the Binyan Tzion, the infamous Gershom Mavel Tova, that was Marishai Lomois in the Bezdin of Rabbi Ashna Lemer of Shmumi Salant. So he tells you when the story happened. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Be'uvda Da'asal Yodan. This is Rabbi Ashna Lemer writing. Poi Ira Kodesh, Yerushalayim. Yoim Gimel, Chav Gimel, Yerich Adar Sheini Shnas, Tov Reish Ches Ha'Avar. You can fact check this. If you look it up, Yoim Chav Gimel, Adar Sheni, Shnas Tov Reish Ches, is exactly March 28, 1848. It's fascinating. He's the guy. The truth is, if you look at the tshuva says that this ger that came, he came from Morocco. That's what it says. He came from Mem Aleph, Reish Aleph, Kuf Aleph. And it's a little bit of a chiddush, because number one, he's describing the tshuva as being a noitzri. What's a noitzri doing in Morocco? Not just that, the Moroccans were all circumcised, right? The Bnei Keturah also chayiv amila. So, he didn't come from Morocco? What? Teretz came from America. He didn't come from Morocco. It came from America. But the dates are the same exact day. Exact. Not with the koil. It's exact. It's the same exact day. It's fascinating. This L'chaira would seem to be the rest of the story. But I'll tell you something interesting. I was discussing this last night with the Chevra. I discussed it with Nachi. I discussed it with Davi Safir. And Davi told me that him and Yehuda Geber actually wrote an article on Word of Crescent in Mishpacha magazine, in their weekly article. This was a couple of years ago. And they brought this theory, which almost seems impeccable beyond reproach, that Word of Crescent is actually, that Word of Crescent is actually this person that's mentioned right here in this famous tshuva. He's buried on Har HaZeisim. And by the way, this is why Yehuda Geber is the goat tour guide. Because if you go with Yehuda on Har HaZeisim, one of the stops that he makes is by the caver of Word of Crescent. I was reading a little bit more about him. It seems that when he passed away, when he was Nifter, he had a tremendous covet, meaning the Anshei Yerushalayim. Who were the Anshei Yerushalayim at that time, right? I mean, we know the Talmidei Agra, the Talmidei Chasam Sofer, the Talmidei Ksav Sofer. They had such chshivas for what he had done, the way he was he lived b'ktusha v'tahayra in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, that all the stores in Yerushalayim closed that day out of covet, out of deference, and they gave him a levaya the way the gedolim in Yerushalayim used to have a levaya. Lamaisa, he left this world. He didn't leave over any children. Maybe a non-Jewish family somewhere in Pennsylvania. I don't know. But he didn't leave over a Jewish family, that's for sure. But it's interesting. Even though he didn't leave over a family, and he lived a very fascinating, a very eccentric secular life, but he actually was zoicha to be a part of Jewish history. He was zoicha to be a part of Jewish literature. He's mentioned in a tshuva, in Shailas Tshuva's Binyan Tzion, which is a tshuva shel Hutzrich L'Doyres. He's someone that's mentioned in this fascinating tumult that involves a tshuva from the Avni Nezer, a tshuva from the Kajah Glover going. Either way, Yusuf Soysev Doivos Bekever, Yehi Zichrei Baruch, and now you know the rest of the story.